Anna Maria Whiting. By her daughters Elda, Martha, and Minnie. After father was gone, mother stayed at home. She said that was where she was, where she wanted to be for a while. She was lonely and this was hard, but how I admired her, as did everyone. When I went to see her each day, she didn't complain, and what wonderful stories and thoughts and experiences she told me. How blessed I was to spend this time alone with her, and how this has helped me through these last years. Our children took turns staying with mother nights. These choice memories and experiences have influenced their lives. Mother didn't slow down for long. She wanted to keep the bees, and our family went on helping even more, as we had done for years. The bees were built up and doing well. We had over 2,000 gallons of honey the year after father died. Mother went with us to Geraldine's wedding in 1944, to Salt Lake City. Later that same year she fell and broke her hip. Mrs. Christen Webb was living in part of her house, so she wasn't alone. Mother tripped over a rug in her living room. She couldn't get up or move. She called and called for help, and finally with her arms she pulled herself near enough a door that she pounded on it until Mrs. Webb heard her. Mrs. Webb went for Eddie and he came for me. The doctor gave her a shot, but she suffered so all night and kept saying, "I know my hip is broken." The next day the boys took her to the hospital in Phoenix. Mother lived many years, but she never walked without crutches. She lived with us a lot and she enjoyed making her quilts, rugs, etc. She enjoyed reading more than she ever had. And I like to remember how she loved to have her old friends drop by, especially Money Jolly, her girlhood friend. About the middle of October 1944, Elda called me and told me mother had fallen right in her home and broken her hip. I called Min and told her in tears how bad it seemed. They later called and said they had managed to get her on a bed in a pickup to Phoenix, and that the best surgeons there had nailed the bone, and that she had a good chance to get well and walk. Eddie then asked if we four girls could take turns staying in the hotel and go to see her every day. None of us lived in Phoenix then. I took very sick one night, either a gallbladder attack or severe acute indigestion. The doctor was called and gave me a shot and took me on a stretcher in an ambulance to the same hospital where mother was. I was better in a few days and we moved mother to a house where Lola and Joy Ashcroft lived. When Ernest and Beryl heard I'd been sick, they came down from Holbrook and took over. I went home to Salt Lake City. They later took mother to Holbrook, where her three daughters-in-law took over, Beryl, Armina, and Nell, and I'm sure they did an even better job than we, her own, would have done. We get nervous easily around sick folks. Mother was patient and did her best to do as she was told so she could walk again, but when she started with crutches, it was hard to tell when it was time to remove the nail. She put it off, and the doctors thought it would not be wise to remove it at this late date. She stayed mostly with Min, Elda, and Ralph, occasionally with me and May and others, even alone some of the time until she was nearly 90. She was such a good sport about traveling. They took her on trips a lot from one town to another where we lived. She went east about three times to New York. Then suddenly she got much worse, and they phoned for me to come to Los Angeles, where she lived with Min. I went to Los Angeles at once and Frank followed. Ralph and Nell came also to help. They wanted to take her to Mesa where they lived. We hesitated. The doctors said since Frank was a doctor and Nell a practical nurse of the best kind, and would be along, we could take her. So we did, and she stood the trip all right. Nell took care of her days, and a special nurse at night. Frank had dressed and walked up to see mother every morning when I awoke. Frank and I had a room nearby. When I got there I used to wonder and marvel to think mother had in-law children that gave her medical care, nursing, and above all the sincere love that they gave to her. We all thank them and her other children and in-laws for all the kindness given to her. I wish I knew I could have my sister Nell or someone like her, who would be as kind, sympathetic, and tender as she was to mother when she passed away. It would help so much. She would pat mother on the cheek, kiss her forehead and show her love every way possible. Frank was kind to mother too. Nell returned kindness to him, Albert and others who have gone. One of the things I remember about Dad's funeral was mother giving comfort to me. I had been ill in bed for 2 years, and against doctor's advice had made the trip home from Los Angeles. As we traveled to the cemetery, she held my hand tightly, choking back her own tears and said, "Don't ever forget that death is the Lord's plan and His plans are always good ones." Even after over 50 years of life together, raising a big family and living life to the fullest, now mother was left alone. The children all married and all moved away except Eddie, Lynn, and Elda. I wondered what mother would do now, and I was soon to find she was just as busy carrying on both her load and Dad's. She kept the bees, and with Elda and family made the honey as usual. The very next year she planted a garden, she rented her rooms. She carried her bottles of goodies to her neighbors. She wrote me a letter nearly every day. She raised and sold tomato plants. She grew her flowers in the front. In other words, mother carried the load of both she and Dad. Dad's rocking chair sat in the same place and mother kept it there for the comfort of those who came for her help. Then a new way of life came to mother, one she had not prepared herself for. She broke her hip. The best care possible was given her both by family and medically, yet she was never to walk again without her two crutches. Did she complain about the new adjustment she must now make? No. She felt lost because she was not needed. There was no work she had to do, so she didn't need to get up early. Before long she adjusted to her new way of life with the enthusiasm and energy just as if she had been waiting for time to do these other things. She read church books, and crocheted hundreds of doilies to be handed out to her grandchildren. She wrote on her history, made more than 100 quilt tops. She could go spend her time with her children, visiting each of us and blessing our children with her love for them. Then there came another new change in her life. She was needed again. My husband Dan became very seriously ill, and she came at once to be with me. She stayed with me much of the time after that. She was with me when I took Don to the doctors from Salt Lake to San Diego. After we lost Don, she knew how very lost I was, and it was she by my side in this art that taught me what I needed to make a happy home for my boy of 8 years. Her concern for Donnie was as great as if he had been her very own. Soon Donnie became ill with TB and was in bed 2 years. It was necessary for me to take care of the business that went on in my new motel, but Don was not alone. I can see him now sitting in his bed making clay soldiers and she by his bed in her rocking chair. He loved her and was lost and lonely if she was not there beside him. That picture reminds me not only of two who could not walk entertaining each other as grandmother and grandson, but those two developed the closest friendship I have ever known between an 85-year-old woman and an 8-year-old boy. She loved him and he adored her. Yes, mother was needed until the day she died, and her words of wisdom guide my life today.